to share with all of you from my heart, from the Word of God.
Amen.
And we're going to be talking about honoring God.
Yeah.
Being a model nation, a model Catholic ministry to God's glory. God bless you. So turn to me in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7 as we get started. Deuteronomy 7, and we're going to read here starting in verse 6. All right? You guys there?
Yeah.
First of all, I just want to say that, hey, I'm so thankful to be here. Thank you, Rob, Chelsea, for that wonderful introduction, but thank you even more for the lives that you live and you lead, and I'm so proud of the two of you. They are in the leadership group of the New York City church, helping us make key decisions and evaluate where we are as a ministry, and they've definitely stepped up, and I really appreciate the way you've grown, and it's an honor to work side by side. As well as for the rest of you who are serving as in the full-time ministry and as interns, very encouraged by your faith and your hard work. And you're doing great things. We pray to do even greater things in the days ahead.
Come on. Yep.
And so here in Deuteronomy chapter 7, God is talking to his people. And he says, "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God." And Moses is trying to help them understand how God sees them. "The Lord God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession." What an honor to be chosen by God.
Amen.
And if you're a disciple of Jesus, you have been chosen by God to be a part of the greatest mission on the face of the earth.
Amen.
He goes on and says in Deuteronomy chapter verse 7, he says, "The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you are more numerous than other peoples, for you are the fewest of all peoples. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your forefathers that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." But and here in 1 Peter, in a parallel verse in my heart, as we think about where we stand as disciples of Jesus, Peter says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." Wonderful light. God has chosen us.
Amen.
Selected us.
Come on, Sam.
To be his people.
That's right. Amen.
To be the people that give him praise, to be the people that glorify his name, to be the people that give him honor. And there is no greater blessing in all the world than to be chosen by God. You know, your purpose in life is not just to get a college degree.
That's right.
It's not just to get a boyfriend or a girlfriend or to get married or to have children. Your purpose in life is to honor God. For you to live a life that lifts him up, that shows the world that the Lord God Almighty is the most important thing in your life.
Yeah.
And that you've been chosen and created in his image to make a difference in this world. That is your destiny. That is your purpose in life. Mm. And here we're told that we are God's chosen people.
That's right.
That God knows who you are. He knows you by name. He knows the number of hairs on your head, which means he knows you better than he knows me tonight.
Yeah.
We're told that we're to revere God, that we're to honor him as our God. And here in Deuteronomy 6, verse 13, again, Moses says, "Fear the Lord your God. Serve him only and take your oaths in his name. Do not follow other gods, the gods of your peoples around you. For the Lord your God who is among you is a jealous God.
Yeah.
And his anger will burn against you, and he will destroy you from the face of the land." Those are strong words there. Yeah. But our God, he is a jealous God. And really, the word can really be translated zealous.
All right.
He's zealous for us.
Yeah.
And if you have a significant other in your life, you should be jealous for them.
Okay.
Not jealous of them, but jealous for them.
Out.
You know, my wife, Cynthia and I, we've been married 41 years.
Come on.
And along the way, every now and then, a brother somewhere will give her a flower or a candy bar or something just to show their appreciation. And I tell them, you can do it one time. It better not become a regular thing or a weekly thing or a monthly thing. Because she's mine. I'm jealous for her. God has given her to me. And you understand that, right? You understand that, right? And she's not just one of the most important women in my life. She is the most important woman in my life. And when you find that special girl or special guy, you don't want to be in the top three. You want to be number one. Am I right? Jealous for you. Yeah. You are mine. Yeah. You are my daughter. You are my son.
Right.
And don't you worship anything else other than me.
Yeah.
Because I made you special to give me honor and to give me glory. And that's what it means when it says that God is jealous for us tonight.
Right, Sam.
The word fear here can be translated stand in awe. Stand in awe of God. Revere God. Honor God. I want to look at the word honor here.
Come on.
Because I think it's one that we can relate to. To honor is to hold in high respect, reverence, and distinction. That's where we're to put God. Mm-hmm. We're to put him on a pedestal unlike we put anyone else in our lives or in our hearts. He is to be honored. Other translations. The Message version says, deeply respect God, your God. Serve and worship him exclusively. Back up your promises with his name only.
Wow.
Don't fool around with other gods, the gods of your neighbors, because God, your God, who is alive among you, is a jealous God. Don't provoke him, igniting his hot anger, that he would burn you right off the face of the earth. You want to get God angry? You start putting other things in front of him. You want to get God fired up? You put your studies or your boyfriend or your girlfriend or your recreation or your Netflix in front of him. He gets flat fired up. One more translation. Deuteronomy 6 in the Good News translation. Thank you, bro. It says, honor the Lord your God. Worship only him. Make your promises in his name alone. Do not worship other gods, any of the gods of the peoples around you. If you do worship other gods, the Lord's anger will come against you like fire and will destroy you completely, because the Lord your God, who is present among you, tolerates no rivals.
Wow.
He tolerates no rivals. No competition.
Right.
Does God allow in his life, in your walk with him? He is to be honored above all.
Yeah.
And here you are at this stage of your life, you have an incredible opportunity.
Come on.
To lift God up, to show your family, to show your fellow students, to show one another how much God means to you and the difference he's making in your life. And the way that he's transforming your life and helping you to become the man or the woman that he always dreamed or destined that you would be.
Yeah.
At this stage in your life, you can make God smile down from heaven. And hear him say, well done.
Yeah.
I'm pleased with you. Because you've decided to take a stand for what is right. Every act of obedience honors God. Every time you say no to sin, you give honor to God. Every time you reach out to someone who is lost and you try to bring them to Jesus, you give honor to God. He is watching. He's watching you as his son or daughter, and he wants to smile and say, well done. Good and faithful servant. That you are fulfilling what I created you for. You know, when you graduated first grade, I'm sure your parents were right there, front row, trying to take a video, trying to show how proud they were of you. Right. And then you graduated high school, and there they are, embarrassing you, just so happy for what you had accomplished. When you graduate college, your parents or guardians or whoever they are going to be so proud that you made it through.
That's right.
Because about half students that go to college, about half of them graduate.
Wow.
And so if you get that degree, they're going to be flat fired up. I know that's the way I felt about my daughters when they graduated. Every step of the way, we were right there making fools of ourselves.
Come on now.
Trying to let everybody know how thankful we were. And so when they graduated, I was totally, totally fired up. And really, here in Malachi chapter 1.
Come on, bro.
The Lord says, as a son honors his father and a servant his master, if I'm a father, where is the honor due me?
Wow.
Then God is our father, and we are his children. And he wants us to continue to grow spiritually and to graduate from one level to the next until we get to heaven. And he says, are you giving honor to me? Because he is our father. If I'm a master, where's the respect due me? Says the Lord God Almighty. Yeah. And so as you think about how you're living your life, are you honoring God? Is he pleased? Is that the priority in your walk each day? I want to honor God.
Right.
I want to honor him in my conduct. I want to honor him in my thinking. I want to honor him in my academics. I want to honor him in my relationships.
Yeah.
I want to honor him in my personal righteousness. And everything I do, I want to give honor to God. And as I was saying before, I think you got to understand, God knows you. And he's having conversation with the angels in heaven about you.
Mm.
His son, his daughter. And every time you make progress in your personal growth, I believe God smiles and is pleased. You know, I think about, as I was talking about earlier, about my girls. When they graduated, graduate school, my oldest daughter, Christina, graduated from Fordham Law. And Lauren got her master's degree from Columbia. How do you think we felt?
All right.
I was like, them girls got their daddy's brains, you know? You couldn't tell me anything that day, man. I was walking on water. I mean, it's like so encouraged. And of course, they were encouraging one another because they were proud of each other. And that's the way it should be here in our own family. That as you make progress spiritually, when you become a Bible Talk leader, man, we should praise God because of the growth in your spiritual walk.
Right.
When you lead your first study, it's like, amen. We're fired up for you because you're making progress in your walk with God. You know, when you have that first challenging talk with somebody and you get out of your comfort zone and stop being a people pleaser, we're fired up for you.
Yeah.
Because you are giving honor to God.
Amen.
Amen.
So let's talk a few minutes.
Help us out.
About how we practically honor God.
All right, come on, Sam. Stop, Sam.
How do we do it? Because I don't want this to be ethereal. I want you to be able to walk away with some practicals. All right? But first of all, you got to understand, that's what you're on this planet for.
Yeah.
That's what you're here to do. We honor God with our time. We honor God with our talents. And we honor God with how we deal with our trials. And the list can go on, and you can add your own list to this, okay? You know, if I had time, I would add our treasures. If I had time, I would add our testimony. I don't have time to do all that. Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. But let's just talk about these just for a minute.
Right.
Honor God with your time.
Come on.
Are you busy?
Yes.
I know I'm busy, right? You're busy, right? We're all busy. you're trying to get everything done. And you know, a lot of students in New York, they just don't go to school, but they also work, right? I mean, you got a lot going on.
Yeah.
And it's just you can get so busy that you put God to the side because you want to get all these other things done.
Right.
But you always got to make sure you make time for God. You know, the psalmist says in Psalm 90, teach us to number our days and recognize how few they are. Help us to spend them as we should. How are you spending your time? Mm. You know, before I became a Christian, all my time was spent on me, on my selfish ambitions. No time for God. No time for church, no time for Bible study, no time for trying to help anybody. When I became a disciple, my schedule totally changed.
That's right.
My life totally changed. Yeah. And now there were other priorities, and I wanted to honor God with the few days that I had here on the face of the earth. And let me tell you, life is short.
Sure
is. I mean, it's flying by. Just yesterday, you were graduating high school. And now look at where you are today. Just yesterday, I was 40. And now I'm 66, man. I mean, like, time is flying. Alright? It is flying by. And before you know it, you're gonna be where I am, right? I'll be in heaven and you'll be where I'm at, where I am. Right? But how are you using your time? Now let me ask you a question right quick. As you think about how you're using your time, as you think about what's most important to you, what are your priorities in life?
Right.
If you were to write them down, what would they be? Well, I think here's what they should be.
Right.
Number one, God.
Amen.
God should be first. You should always make time for God.
Yeah.
You know, the psalmist tells us, be still and know that I am God. That's what God says. You need to take time every day to be still and to remember the difference that God should make in your life. That every good thing in your life is from God. That you owe everything in your life to God. Or number one, is God. And here in Mark chapter 12, Jesus says that the first and the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. There is no other commandment greater than you loving God and loving your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
Is that a priority in your life? Is that where you are? Is that first in your schedule? Secondly, church.
All right.
Ephesians 4:17 says that we are the body of Christ. And that we're to speak the truth in love to one another. But we're also to meet together as a body. And that each part is to do its work. That you are a vital part of God's church, and it's the most important organism on the face of the earth.
That's right.
That should be a priority in your life. That you are making sure that you're at the services, that you're at the Bible talk, that you're connected.
Amen.
You see, it's easy to be a part of the ministry and be on the roll, but not be connected.
Yeah.
That's got to be important to you. Family. You know, family is vitally important. In Ephesians 2, 6, verses 1 through 2, we're told to honor our father and mother, which is the first commandment with the promise. And the Bible goes on to say that it may go well with you and that you may live a long life.
Right.
But as a church, we think family, because the Bible teaches it, is very important.
Yeah.
And that you can't just go off and spend all your time in church and no time with your family. Your family should see the difference that God and the church have made in your life.
Yeah.
That you are a new creation. And that you're doing things at home that you never did before because you're there to give honor to God.
Yeah.
That you do clean up your room. And that you do wash the dishes. And that you do take out the garbage. And that you do obey your parents. Do you hear me here?
All right.
You do all that. And then you honor God with your school and your work. That you can't give honor to God if you're flunking out in school.
Yeah.
Now, you might be flunking out because you got the wrong major. Get the wrong major, the right major, so you can get some good grades, okay? Not everybody is destined to be an engineer. If you're not good at math and physics, get out of that and get into something that you're good at. But in Colossians 3, we're told, whatever you do, Work at it with all your heart. It's working for the Lord.
Amen.
And it honors God when you make a dean's list.
Yeah.
It honors God when you graduate with honors.
Yeah.
It honors God when you're at the top of your class and not at the bottom of your class.
Yeah.
All right? And really, you know, when I was in college, we would challenge each other in all the different dorms. Which dorms, which of us would have the best GPA?
Wow.
So it was a competition.
Wow.
Who would have the best GPA? All right? I didn't help with that as much as I should have, but I did grow and eventually make the dean's list. Praise the Lord. And then we honor God by seeking and saving the lost.
Yeah.
And Jesus tells us that we're to go and make disciples of all nations. Are you helping a friend right now? Come to Jesus. Who are you helping to come to know God? Are you making a friendship? Are you reaching out? Are you trying to help somebody find what you found?
Good question, Sam.
Because without God, where do people go?
Yeah.
And what is life if you don't know your Creator? Are you helping your friends to find their purpose for life? And see, all these things are important. You need to prioritize all of them. You don't need to excel in one to the neglect of the other.
Yeah.
You can't go and tell your family, I don't have time for you because I'm spending all my time at church and in Bible studies. But in the same way, you can't just say, well, I'm just spending time with school and family. I don't have time to share my faith.
Yeah.
All these things are important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you need to be using your time to excel in all these things. This gives glory to God.
Yeah.
And we need to make sure that we're using our time well to accomplish this thing. Does this make sense?
Yes.
Then you need to honor God with your talents.
Yeah.
Do you know what your talents are?
No.
Man, I was so encouraged as okay, I'm gonna tell you how you I was so encouraged by Gigi's voice.
Yeah.
That I wish I had.
Yeah.
You know, that's a gift from God.
Yeah.
Now, if you don't have it, don't act like you do. And we all can remember the early days of American Idol, when the thing that discouraged me the most is those people had no friends to tell them the reality. You cannot sing. How do I sound? Terrible. Do not get on that show. Do not do it. But the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12, it says we have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. What's your gift? What's your gift? You know, and there's so many other gifts that God's given us. And you give glory to God and honor to God when you use that gift and you're using it for His honor. When you're using it and you're giving God the credit because He gave it to you. You know, some of you said you may have the gift of leadership, but you won't know until you step out on faith and try to do something you've never tried before. You know, when I became a Christian, I didn't think I'd be in the ministry. I didn't think that I would stand before people and speak. As a matter of fact, I was terrible at it before I became a Christian. But when God put something in my heart that I had conviction about, then I wanted to stand up and say something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I took public speaking in college. I got a C when I, as a sophomore. I took advanced public speaking as a senior, and I got an A. I grew in my conviction, and I grew in my ability to express those convictions. But that was from God. You know, my first sermon was a disaster. When I finished, no one spoke to me. Then no one even came up and encouraged me, except for one sister who came up and said, I think you have potential. That was my first. first sermon. And my first Bible talk, I don't even know what it was about. I think I taught false doctrine doing that. You don't know what your gifts are until you try. Until you try, you've got to try. Some of you have the gift of encouragement. Then try to reach out and help somebody. You can build them up. Some of you have the gift of organization. We need that, right?
Yeah.
We need that. You know, some have the gift of musical instrument. We're thankful that you guys can play an instrument and that you're not faking it, man, but you're really playing it. You know? Now, some people have the gift of cooking. We need those people. Some have the gift of eating. We really need you. You know? Some people are athletic. I mean, Rob was showing me a video of this brother who did a flip, flat-footed, backwards, man. Brother got some hair. But don't you try that if that's not your gift. Well, don't try that. I mean, try it on trampoline first. Some have the gift of counseling. Some have the gift of peacemaking. Some of you have the gift of humor. We need you. Some people are hilarious. Some people have the gift, we need to help you with this, of depression, and we need to help you to not be so down. But others, some people have the gift of foreign languages. You know, you bring somebody here, they speak a different language, and it's like, we want to introduce you to my friend, because they know multiple languages. Some people have the gift of problem solving. And on we could go. Some of you have the gift of stature. That's what God is. When you walk in a room, people go, oh my.
Come on, Derek.
Some of you have the gift. Some of you have the gift of beauty. That's right. But it's a gift that can get you in trouble. Bathsheba had the gift of beauty. And David had the gift. He was a handsome guy. And they both got into trouble. So be careful, all right? But those gifts are not for your own selfish gain. Everybody in this room has something that you can use to give honor to God and help advance this ministry. Amen. And you might be thinking, I don't even know what that is. Then work hard as a Christian and God will make it clear to you. And he'll even multiply the gifts that you have.
That's right. Yeah.
But he won't do it if you shrink back and you don't put forth the effort. You need to say, look, I want to get discipled. I want to get help. I want to get input in my life. I want to get involved in helping people who are not disciples. And then your gifts will become evident to God and to men. And then some of you, we need to understand that we can honor God with our trials.
Yes. Up south.
What challenges are you facing right now? What adversities are there in your life? You know, it's so easier to become a Christian. The challenge is staying faithful, fighting a good fight, never giving up, not quitting. Because I'm going to tell you, it's going to get hard sometimes. It is. You know, we had a couple who will be joining the Westchester ministry this summer. We had them share at midweek. And Shayla DeSeer, she shared her story, her conversion story. When she became a Christian, she got baptized at 15. When she got home, her parents locked the door and would not let her in.
Wow.
And they said, you can't live here anymore.
Wow.
But she didn't quit. She went and lived with her sister, remained faithful. And now she's going to go into the full-time ministry in New York.
Come on.
Her adversity, her trial, helped her depend on God more. It built conviction. It built internal strength and fortitude and helped her to become a strong woman of God. And you're going to face some trials. You think about your favorite Bible character. Who's your favorite Bible character?
Peter.
Did Peter face trials?
Yes.
Absolutely. He denied the Lord 3 times, but he got back up, right?
Yes.
And he ushered in the kingdom of God. Who else?
Paul.
The Apostle Paul. You know, at Paul's baptism, you realize that the Lord told Ananias, I'm going to show him how much he must suffer for my name.
Yes.
Can you imagine that at your baptism? Oh, let's share. Oh, the Lord told me to tell you how much you're going to suffer for this name. Queen Esther? You said who?
Job.
Job was your favorite Bible character? He's a good one. But look at what Job went through. Look at what he went through. And even his wife, even Job's wife said, I mean, are you going to hold on to your integrity, all that's been going on wrong in our lives? He says, look, I can't just take good from God and not be willing to face the troubles. And he gave great honor and glory to God. Some of us, when we go through something hard, we question if God is even with us. And we even disappear. And we're not fighting to get stronger. It's your adversities that transform you and make you the person that God wants you to be. You can't become what you need to be without hardship, without challenge. You can't get stronger without resistance.
Right.
Man, you've got to press through. And God allows us to be tested for our growth. And he doesn't give you more adversity than what he wants you to have for you to mature.
Wow.
Your level of adversity is what God has given so you can grow. And so whatever that may be, whether it's with your family or your academics or your own character, God is trying to help you to grow so you can give him honor. You know, we look at all these great men and women of the Bible and we say, man, they're amazing. You can't get to where they are unless you're willing to go through what they went through.
Right.
The strongest trees grow where the strongest winds blow. And you can't mature if the winds don't blow your way. God wants us to honor him as our sons and daughters. You know, James tells us, he says, blessed is the man, the woman who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. God wants to look down and say, you made it through.
That's right.
You fought through. You did not give up. You did not quit. You did not shrink back when others did.
Right.
You know, if you took a picture of the people in this room, a year from now, everybody who's here will not be here.
Mm-hmm.
For different reasons. But some will quit simply because they got disillusioned and they took their eyes off of God. Mm-hmm. Will that be you?
Yeah.
Will that be you? You know, I decided if I'm going to get baptized, it's going to be for life.
Right.
Amen.
I'm not doing it if I'm not going to do it all the way and the rest of my life. Yeah. And then finally, in Psalm 50, it says, sacrifice thanks offerings to God. Fulfill your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will honor me. You know, as I showed you that photo of my daughters, and I'm so proud, God has your pictures up. He knows who you are. And he's hung your pictures on his wall.
Wow.
And every day, he's saying, I want my son or my daughter to honor me. You know, because when you go home, you know how it is. Your parents, and we do the same. We got those pictures up on the wall. Those are our children. And you're God's children.
Mm.
And he holds you up.
Come on, Sam.
And he has vision for what you're going to be.
Yeah.
Amen. He wants to look down, and what does he want to say? You know what he wants to say? All of you know. He wants to say what?
Well done. Good and faithful servant.
Amen.
Honor God. Honor him with your time, with your talents, and with your trials. God bless you.